RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Megan's here. It's Monday. It's the Monday Fun Day show. This isn't fun, I don't think. We'll find out.
What?
All right. This is this specific fact right here. Jason Kelce, who was on this show's bad list for comments about Secretariat a couple weeks ago. I got to catch you up here.
I remember that.
You do remember? Okay,
I do
good.
Remember that.
Yeah, he said Secretariat was juicing. We disowned him. He's back. He's back.
Okay.
Over the weekend with a take on showering.
Oh, this can't be good.
All of you have been fed diabolical lies that washing every crevice of your bodies all the time is somehow better or healthier. Any dermatologist not in bed with a big soap will agree. Talking about how often he showers. And he's right. The New York University Langone Health dermatology experts suggest that people should shower, bathe, or cleanse themselves every 2 to 3 days.
2 to 3 days?
2 to 3 days.
I could never.
2 to 3 days.
Fight me. I could never.
Do these people hang out with other people?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They don't live in Virginia in the summer. I know that. I have 2 shower days in the summer in Virginia.
Yeah. Well, see, I do 1 a day. I do my nightly showers. But Jason, he's like a sweaty football player. Like, are you telling me you're going 3 days without showering?
I hope he's not saying that, but that's concerning.
That's very concerning.
For his wife, for his coworkers.
Yeah.
Right? And I've been in NFL locker rooms. They don't smell good, but I always just assume that's because, you know, they had just played football and not because they were making some sort of stand against showering.
I got a whiff of the jerseys behind you the other day. It was not good. I can tell you those things, they're not worn, but they haven't been washed either.
I don't think those were used in NFL football games either.
They smell like something.
We got the rack of Redskins jerseys. I can't smell them from here, thankfully. As I turn and look, I'm not getting closer to the locker.
Yep.
That's my plan. Every 2 to 3 days. Otherwise, you can actually dry out your skin and make yourself more prone to infection because you wash over good natural bacteria that protect your skin.
See, I mean, I can see it because, like, I wash my hands way too much. And when I wash them too much, they start getting all red and irritated. So, like, I
for
see
sure.
your point, but no.
I'm not done yet, Megan.
Oh, no.
The New York University Department of Dermatology has more thoughts on showering. Keep it to no more than 3 minutes.
Fight me.
And keep the temperature lukewarm,
Fight
not
me.
Too hot.
Me in like a sauna every night for like a whole 30 minutes.
3 minutes.
30 minutes.
No. I'm saying that's the recommended length.
No, I'm doing 30.
No more than 3 minutes. Can you even wash your hair in 3 minutes?
I can do that, but like.
You could.
If you do, okay, I could do a 3-minute shower, but.
We all could do a 3-minute
speed
shower.
Run.
You're focused. You're focused in a 3-minute run.
You're not thinking about anything. You are rushing.
You're an evening shower.
I am.
I'm generally a morning shower, so I do keep mine quick because I'm always running late, as y'all know. Yeah, yeah, I'm always scrambling. So my showers end up naturally on the shorter end.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing lukewarm. Forget that.
And see, I like the night when I can just like relax and have my me time, you know. I would be the same way in the morning. I don't have time in the morning.
Only time I'm doing lukewarm is like on a crazy hot day.
Yes.
Or if I've got a sunburn. That happens.
Agreed.
That does happen. Mm-hmm. I know what you're thinking, you know, a guy like yourself, so tan. No, I do get burned all the time, actually.
You look at me and you're like, a guy like yourself.
Yeah, no. Suntan's very regular event. That's when we're doing lukewarm. Otherwise, we're cranking it up. This is a steam situation.
All I got to say is this is not a discussion I thought I was going to be having on the radio at 10-something in the morning.
you never know what you're going to walk your way into here.
No.
You never know. 3-minute showers, keep it water lukewarm, and every 2 to 3 days, 2 to 3 times a week.
I would feel so dirty.
I just, especially in the summer, when it's like, when it's humid, like you get out of the shower and you're like, oh, I got to take another shower. You're like, I got to get back in there. That's not great for the world here. It's not a great situation for global health and situations.
No, and like my hair too, it would be flat.
Won't somebody please think of the hair?
Yeah. They'd probably be like, oh, just wash the hair and leave the skin alone.
This would be like the dentistry people being like, yeah, just brush your teeth every once in a while. Right? Like,
yeah.
They're anti their own product here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I don't need, like, I don't need to soap up every part of my body. I'm good to just let gravity, you get some bubbles going. You're good to just let gravity do its, like, I'm not, like, scrubbing the bottom of my feet, you know?
Oh, no.
No. Yeah. I'm not doing that every day. So, I'm good on that. Jason Kelsey has thoughts on that. He says, what kind of weirdo washes their feet? When somebody says, you look like somebody who doesn't wash his legs or feet. He says, what kind of weirdo washes their feet? I'm not scrubbing my feet unless I need to scrub my feet.
So I'm not scrubbing.
That's what the water's there for.
That's true. I do agree. Like, there's to an extent, the water runs over them. But I do a little, like, like on my foot, because, like there was one time I got an infection on my toe, and I'm paranoid now. So I want to make sure it's clean.
Yeah.
I'm not going to scrub it, but.
The one infection could, like, it's not the infection itself. It's the lingering mental paranoia for years in the future.
Yep.
About it coming back.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
That taught me my lesson.
I had an ingrown toenail when I was younger. I had Do you know how they fix that?
No, not really. I've never had one.
They basically take the whole nail out.
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's gross.
Oh.
That's as close as I've ever been to fainting.
Yeah, I bet.
Was when they stuck the needle in the toe to numb it so they could rip it out. That's as close as I've ever come to be like, I'm checking out of this situation. I've had medical procedures.
Yeah.
I've had injuries. That was it, though. That the ripping out of the nail, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to knock my butt out.
Oh. we're gonna put you under for a little while, Miss Lux, so we can take your toenail out.
Well, see, I almost passed out when I got my ears pierced, so that tells you something.
Yeah, but like back in the day, like we all just like went to the mall and like, you know, I've never had my ears pierced, but I, you know, the people I knew, like you just go to Claire's and like they stick it with like a staple gun or something.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Basically.
Now you go to like a tattoo parlor. And it's done professionally.
That's where I went the other day because I have to get mine done at the doctor's office since I pass out.
Yeah.
But Vince went and got his done, and we went to a tattoo parlor. It was like Lucky 13 or something downtown.
Tattoo or ear piercing?
Ear piercing.
Ear piercing.
Mm-hmm.
How many do you have?
I only have two. I want to get a third hole. He has two now, too.
Okay. He's catching up.
He is catching up.
You got to stay ahead.
it's inspired me to get a third hole.
I love it. I love it. Yes, we did not think we'd be spending an entire segment on showering, but we did. That's how the Monday show goes. You never know what you're going to walk into after the weekend. We got another hour left of MP on the mic. You never know what we're going to get into. I'll promise you a few things we're going to get into. One, this Caitlin Clark situation, which has gotten out of control already. Two, this weekend in the world of sports, the Connor McDavid goal for the Edmonton Oilers. Washington Nationals finished the weekend with a win in Cleveland, and JMU baseball had a historic win. It was ultimately not enough to lift them into the Super Regional, but UVA is going to keep on dancing. They swept their way through the regional. Dominant performance, Jay Wolfolk. Shout out to him. A great outing by Jay Wolfolk, who lifts the Cavaliers last night into the win. Didn't even need the backup game to do it. They were in the winner's bracket, took care of business the whole way. They will take on the Wildcats of Kansas State in the Super Regional at Davenport Field this weekend. I would expect ticket information, dates, all that to be released by the end of today once they wrap up the regionals that extended into Monday. We'll also hear at 11:15 comments from Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson, who you may remember spurned the Commanders during their head coaching search. This on a morning where Justin Jefferson, Vikings wide receiver, locks down $110 million guaranteed. He's the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. All that in hour number two. Appreciate you coming along for the ride on a Monday morning. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Monday morning, MP on the mic. What's up, Richmond? 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We're in it. It's June. Nobody bits harder than we bit in the month of June. That's our policy. We'll get through it together. Commanders, OTAs, and minicamp over the next 2 weeks. Then the sports world goes dark for a little while. We got the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup. We'll wind it all down. College baseball, UVA still in it. We're near the summer, though. We're near the thick of the summer. Everything shuffles in the summer. We'll have lots of good stuff for you. Don't worry. We gave you the story of Charlotte the Stingray on Friday's program. Feel like we need to update you. Charlotte not pregnant, by the way. A stunner there. They acknowledged that the Stingray is not pregnant, which was basically the whole point of the segment. Was she's obviously not pregnant. They're just trying to sell tickets to a knockoff zoo in a strip mall. What can you do? What can you do? 11:01, hour number two underway. I want to start the Connor McDavid goal because it's my show, and it was awesome. And that's where I stand on the matter. Here's Connor McDavid lifting the Edmonton Oilers into the Stanley Cup final.
McDavid, top of the circle. Now Draisaitl coming off the goal line. Finds McDavid, heading for the net, around Steele, toe drag, backhander score. What a sensational goal by the captain, Connor McDavid. It's 1-0 Edmonton in game six. Spectacular!
We play a lot of clips of a lot of people yelling about a lot of plays in the world of sports because that's what play-by-play guys do. That one deserved the yell. Goal of the year in the NHL for my money with the toe drag and the stick and lifts his team to the Stanley Cup Finals. That had it all. Best player in the world coming through on the biggest stage. And now you've got your classic hockey matchup to see who will raise Lord Stanley's Cup. It's the Edmonton Oilers deep in the heart of Canada. And the Florida Panthers, who play their games in a shopping mall outside Fort Lauderdale. Just a good old-fashioned NHL showdown for Lord Stanley's Cup. Bad news for Edmonton. This will be the fifth time in the Southern Expansion era that a Canadian team has played against a team from the American South. The Canadians are 0-4. During that stretch, Edmonton lost to Carolina in 06, Calgary lost to Tampa in 04, in 07, Ottawa lost to Anaheim, and then a couple years ago, it was Tampa beating Montreal, as now Edmonton will represent Canadians in their quest to win the Stanley Cup after this long, long drought that extends back to 1993 when the Montreal Canadiens were the last team to lift Lord Stanley's Cup from Canada. It's everything the NHL wants. You've got a new market, right, in Florida, and certainly a great team down there that was in it last year. Nobody doubting their worthiness to participate in the Stanley Cup final. You've got Connor McDavid in Edmonton. You're going to get to see the greatest player in the world at least four more times this season and a great market up there. You've also got, that's going to be a brutal travel series for those teams flying back and forth between Fort Lauderdale and Edmonton. They're going to put in some miles. Some people are going to get a lot of A lot of Delta Sky Miles out of this series between the Panthers and the Oilers. That'll start later this week. NBA Finals start later this week as well. We'll dive into that as the week goes on. Get you ready for the Celtics taking on the Mavericks for the right to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy in the NBA as everything kind of winds down. Baseball just heating up, though, and for the Washington Nationals is clip number three here. Joey Meneses was the hero for the Nats last night, or yesterday afternoon, as they wrapped up their series against the Cleveland Guardians.
Pitch swung on, line drive center field toward the gap. Long run for the center fielder Freeman. It's beyond his glove and off the wall. Ruiz comes in to score. Rosario jogging home right behind him, and it's the Nationals 2 and the Guardians nothing.
Salvaged a game at the end of the three-game series there, 5-2 win for the Nats. One of the three in Cleveland, tough series against a strong team right now. They face the Mets. Three-game series starts tonight up in D.C., and then the Braves for four this weekend. Braves probably licking their chops on that one as they try to keep pace with the Philadelphia Phillies. In the American League, it's our guy Juan Soto. Juan Soto and the Yankees trailing entering the ninth. No worries. Off they go.
1-0. Swing and a fly ball. Deep right field. Yastrzemski turns and watches. It is gone! A go-ahead two-run blast by Juan Soto. He gives the Yankees the lead in the top of the ninth, going over the 24-foot high wall in right, and it's a 6-5 Yankee lead.
Certainly brings me no joy to relay this news to you. The New York Yankees have the most wins in professional baseball right now, 42-19 this season. They extend their lead over the Orioles to three games in the AL East with their win yesterday. Yankees 42 wins. The Phillies right behind them at 41 wins. Both teams rolling towards playoff appearances. The Yankees swept the Giants. The big squirrels, as we say, right? When the squirrels grow up, they become giants. They lost all three to the Yankees in San Francisco. Speaking of the squirrels, rough weekend. Were you on any squirrels games this weekend, Megan?
Oh, my goodness. I know Rob had yesterday and Ashley had Saturday. I was off Friday, so it's been a while.
It's been a while. Well, we had the hated Erie Seawolves in town.
Yeah.
And I think we all got excited about the chance for redemption, but there was no redemption to be found. Erie took 2-3 over the weekend to close out a successful homestand for them. But that's all right. Here's how it works in Eastern League baseball.
Okay.
At the halfway point of the season, everybody starts over, 0-0. We reset the standings and we start fresh. So will the squirrels win the pennant in the first half of the season? No, they're not going to.
Yeah.
But am I going to let that crush me? No. Because we got a whole second half of the season.
And they're going to do great.
We will speak it into existence.
Yes.
They're going to do great.
Manifest.
Altoona in town for a six-game set. That starts tomorrow, the Diamond Dark tonight, before a six-game series Tuesday through Sunday of this week. Shout out to the Chili Peppers on the Tri-Cities. They did Cosmic Baseball on Saturday night. They replaced the lights in the stadium with black lights, and everybody wore glow-in-the-dark uniforms, glow-in-the-dark bats, glow-in-the-dark balls.
That's cool.
It was super cool. Because we had the owner of the team on the show Thursday, and he was explaining, and I was like, I mean, I get it conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to work?
That's what I was wondering.
It definitely worked. It was really cool. Got a lot of attention. Major League Baseball shared the clips nationally. Always love to see good things happening in our little neck of the woods.
That's awesome. If you could send me those clips, I would love to see that.
We will share those clips. And they glow in the dark baseball.
Yeah.
It's time has come. It's time has come. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever won their second game. That was not the story in any way. The story was Caitlin Clark got, fill in the blank here, cheap shotted, hit from behind, was in a talking smack match and, Got a little physical over the weekend. Here is the post-game interview with the Chicago Sky breaking down what happened with Caitlin Clark. Sorry, this is number one on the list.
Next question. It seemed like she turned to you a little bit.
Yeah.
After the
I ain't answering no Caitlin Clark questions.
Did she say anything to you?
I don't know what she said.
What'd you say to her?
I didn't say anything.
That's enough. We're good. She's good.
That's Coach Teresa Witherspoon cutting off Trinity Carter, who was the one who hit Caitlin Clark, was not interested in elaborating on the foul, which was upgraded by the WNBA to a flagrant foul the next day. I'm not sure what that achieves. Nobody knows. But the Caitlin Clark discourse is wide open again. As it seems that we are legally required to have Caitlin Clark discourse at least once a week, we now re-enter that realm. There's always, like, and this pits people who have followed the WNBA before Caitlin Clark against people who are WNBA fans or Caitlin Clark fans now. The one perspective being it's a tough league, get over it. The other perspective being, hey, maybe you should protect our players so she can make more of those three-point shots that everybody enjoys watching. I think the core of it to me is people who were WNBA fans pre-Caitlin Clark, if you watched WNBA basketball regularly before the 2023 season, I think fundamentally they don't want the league to change. And that's not a women's sports thing, and that's not a WNBA thing. That's a human thing, right? Like, that's a hipster thing. Like, the people who, like, moved to Scott's Addition before everybody else moved there, they're gone. They're like, man, I can't stand all these people moving into Scott's Addition. This place is way too popular. Screw this, right? Like, the people who make something popular and then everybody else jumps in, they don't like it. That's human nature. That's not women's sports. That's not the WNBA. The WNBA has record ratings, right? You know, we're talking about it. You know, people are talking about the NBA, seeing the WNBA more than ever before. It's a more visible league than it's ever been in the history of the WNBA. And the people who have been on this train since day one don't like it one bit. And I get why they don't like it, because it's going to change as a result of Caitlin Clark being there. You think about the NBA fans of the 70s and 80s, back when that was a tape-delayed league, right? The NBA finals in the 1980s were not shown on live television. They were shown later on tape delay. The league changed. Michael Jordan changed the league. And for a while, the Detroit Pistons just tried to beat him up every time they played him. And for a while, you know, you had that group, right? You know, the pre-Bird and pre-Magic League, where there were just fights on the court regularly, and it was a different league, and people didn't appreciate what Michael Jordan brought to the table and the league. It'll balance out over time. It'll balance out, and we'll reach some sort of equilibrium, and we're gonna, you know, it will involve people finding the middle here, because on the one hand, Caitlin Clark's here and she is really good at shooting threes, so you're gonna have to get over that, and these new fans are good for the game and are good for growing women's sports, but also it is overkill, right? Every TV network is only showing wall-to-wall Caitlin Clark. That's not sustainable. This was like when we had the Tim Tebow thing in football. You know, for a month, all we did was talk about Tim Tebow every day. It's not sustainable for the product to only talk about one player on one team. Eventually, for the league to flourish, we'll have to talk about the other teams. That said, it probably is bad business to be taking swings at the star player. Jordan, of course, once he got his stature, got protected. The Jordan rules, you know, he never fouled out of a game. You know, LeBron never fouls out of a game. You know, more stuff gets called on the stars. The W's got to figure out what it's going to be going forward. And I get where the long-timers are unhappy about what it's becoming. But I also get that money almost always trumps any sort of emotion or logic in these instances. Go back to, right, Scott's Addition and you know, neighborhoods. Like, once the money comes in, it doesn't matter what you think. The money started talking, and the money's already measured the house and is doing the renovations here, right? Gatorade, Nike, ESPN. They've already decided what the WNBA is going to be. You can fight it, you can not fight it. That die seems to largely be cast, though. That We're dedicating that segment to Stubb, who we enjoy pointing out every morning that the Washington Mystics still are the only WNBA team without a win, because apparently basketball function in D.C. does not discriminate by gender. They could have drafted Angel Reese. Could have done it. Chose not to. Chose it. No, we're good. Let's try to continue to be the worst WNBA team of all time. Let's do it. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. The commander shot for the moon in Ben Johnson during the coaching search. He gave his first public comments about that the other day. We will play those for you on the other side of this break. It's the Monday show. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Eleven 18. It's Monday, June 3rd. MP on the mic. You know where to find it. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. You know the one. It's got the rewind button. You can find it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Appreciate you guys making us a part of your summer routine. School's out. Driving around the city. Nice warm weekend. Summer has finally arrived. Do you go to the pool, Megan? Or are you do you have one like at your spot?
I go. My mom and I usually go to Kings Dominion every week and go to the water park there and just chill out. And then we
Soak
also have
City.
The neighborhood. Yep.
I love Kings Dominion. I've never been to Soak City.
Really?
I need to go.
It's nice. You need to go.
Okay.
I like it.
Can I just? I don't know if I can say this on the radio or not. I'm a little weirded out by the water. Like everybody, okay. You know, goes there and like hangs out for the day. It's
yeah.
a little too public, you know.
A little too public.
People public
aren't
pool
showering,
kind of
you know?
Situation. What? Well, people only need to shower every 2 to 3 days. That's what I learned on today's
yep.
program. That's my takeaway. So maybe I'm good.
Maybe you're good.
Well, that bacteria might do me some good. Build up my immunity. I love water slides though.
They got some good ones.
Yeah,
they got the one that goes straight down. I haven't done that one, but
need to make that happen this mm-hmm. year. I have done the straight down ones before.
Okay, is it bad?
Terrifying.
Oh, I bet. That's why I don't do it. My mom told me one time that my hair was going to get caught like in the little like cracks.
Oh,
on the
no.
slide, and ever since then I have avoided that slide.
Oh, what a. You can't say that. No, you'll never
do the one
do
where you get on the tube.
Oh, yeah, the tube ones are good.
The tube ones are good.
We went to the Bahamas a couple years ago. They had a water park there, mm-hmm. and they had the straight down, and they had like the big tube mm-hmm. ones. That's an extra level of thrill there,
yeah.
because if you die, it's kind of not their problem, right? Like you're not subject to American laws, you
oh
know.
My gosh.
Well, like, what are you gonna do? Sue them? It's not our country anymore.
Not our country anymore.
No, rules don't matter at that point. I love a good water slide, though.
Me too.
Now I'm going to think about the hair thing, though, every time I go down a water slide.
See, you've got me wanting to conquer my fear now, though. I think I'm just going to put my hair in a bun and try it.
Well, I told AWOD we're going tubing this year
because
he's never been tubing on the James.
Have you ever been?
All right, you're coming too.
Yay!
Marlon's coming. Hazel's coming. We'll shut down shop for a day and
yep.
We'll go tubing. Tubing.
Awesome.
Now, that's not a thrill ride. Obviously, no. But it's a ton of fun.
It sounds like it.
A Richmond rite of passage, so to speak. Yes. Okay. So that's on the books for the summer.
My dad used to go. I think it was like white water rafting on the James,
mm-hmm.
and that looked wild.
Yeah. So we'll stop before the rapids.
Before we drown.
If you go down the rapids, that's on you.
Yep.
I will not. I will not be going down the rapids. That's not my show. Let's play this Ben Johnson clip. He's the Lions offensive coordinator, and to set the scene, the Commanders needed a coach. They interviewed a bunch of coaches. They made their list of finalists. They went to go interview all the finalists. And when they were on the plane to Detroit to interview Ben Johnson, they, on the plane Wi-Fi, saw that Ben Johnson was not going to talk to them and was staying in Detroit, which, in the annals of things sitting well, did not sit well with the Commanders' brass, as you might imagine. No hard feelings. Dan Quinn's the coach. Ben Johnson's the offensive coordinator in Detroit. Here is Ben Johnson on why he didn't become a head coach in this cycle, despite being one of the hottest names.
Something that really resonates with me is, okay, 8 openings this past year. What would you set the over under in 3 years? How many still have jobs? Shoot, yeah, I'd put the over under at 4.5. I would say there's a good chance 5 of them are out of jobs in 3 years. And so when I look at it from that perspective, if I get the opportunity to go down that road, it's about how do I get to that second contract? How do I set myself up that the stars need to align? I'm not going to do it just to do it. I love what I'm doing right now. Love it. Love. I love where I'm at. My family loves where we're at. Love the people that we're doing it with. And so I'm not willing to go down the other path yet unless I feel really good about how it's going to unfold.
I want to take this two different ways. And one is, I don't think, like, the logical side of my brain says there's not enough people operating this way in the world, because you see this every year, right? And who, Kurt Cignetti, the JMU football coach, took the job at Indiana. And you're like, hey, good for him. He's going to make a lot of money. We'll never hear from him again. You can't win at Indiana playing football. He made a ton of money, but he's not going to turn Indiana around. No disrespect to him. He did a great job at JMU. I think he'll have a nice team. I think they'll be proud of him there at Indiana. You're never going to hang with Penn State. You're never going to hang with Michigan State. So there's not enough people in life who are like number two in command who are like, hey, maybe I don't just take the first job that pops up, because that's a recipe for disaster, right? And we've seen that with the Carolina Panthers job and with Washington over the years, where they don't get their first choice. The emotional side of my brain is a little bit like we're following the ex on Instagram here, and we're looking at, you know, what did he say? He can't get to a second. It's not a good opportunity. We're a great opportunity. What's he mean we're not a good opportunity? Right? You have to take all of this in the context of, this is the job he turned down. That was a very nice philosophical global statement that I appreciated. And also, he said no to us, to this team, to this opportunity, right? And the comments here are, I got to pick a place where I won't just be fired in 3 years. I got to pick a place where I can get to a second contract. I'm okay with reading between the lines there and say, I didn't think I could do that in Washington. I didn't think I could do that with the Commanders. If I take the Commanders' job, I will be one of those people. I'll be fired in 3 years. It makes me question, right, how much Adam Peters had an effect on this. Because you got the two sides of the house. General manager picks the players. The coach coaches the players. Adam Peters was the first hire by Josh Harris and his ownership team, and he was a great hire. Slam dunk hire. He has full control, and that's how you land a guy like that, right? He gets to call all the shots. But as a result of that, as a result of Adam Peters getting to call the shots, does that mean that the coach feels he's not going to be empowered to run his team and his program in a way that he wanted to? Does he feel like maybe Adam Peters is going to be chasing long-term goals that aren't as compatible with my goals as a coach? And I think you saw a little bit of that this offseason. They had the opportunity to make some splash signings. I'm thinking of the Saquon Barkleys of the world, right? Guys like that who came available. I'm even thinking at left tackle. There were names out there, and there were, you know, not even names, but semi-big names towards the end of the market that they just didn't go for and didn't take a chance on, that they took a lot of those pitches, which tells me Adam Peters is playing a long game, and I like that. And you wonder if that factored in to Ben Johnson. Now, everybody always says the same thing, right? Like, is this going to hurt him? Is this going to hurt his ability to get a coaching job next year? And the answer to that, of course, is not if he keeps winning. There's 32 NFL teams. He's burned a bridge with one NFL team. But in the process, he hadn't done a thing at any of the others. If he wants a job next year and he's still winning, somebody's going to offer him a job, right? What, at that press conference, like, are you worried about what he did to Washington? He didn't do it to us. Not our problem what happens out there in Washington. It's a competitive league. There's no guarantee the Lions will be back where they were. It's a competitive NFC this year. The Vikings made their move today, signing Justin Jefferson. Bears are going to have Caleb Williams. I think you got to take Jordan Love and the Packers very seriously this season. I think that's a team that certainly has a ton of potential to be a playoff team, make a run going forward. It's a tough division. There are no gimmies. If you were to pick it right now, you'd probably pick the Vikings fourth in the NFC North, and that's a team that could win on any given day. So there's no guarantee the Lions get back there. There's no guarantee Ben Johnson has this opportunity again. But I think it's telling, right? Hey, I want to go to a place where I can stick for a long time. And for whatever reason, he didn't see Washington as being that place. He didn't see the Commanders as being that place. I disagree, but I think it's a reality check, right? As we start to inch closer to prediction time and everybody doing, you know, how many wins are they going to have and can they win 10? And, you know, can they be this year's Texans with the new quarterback and, you know, new coach on the defensive side of the ball bringing that energy? And the answer is yes, they can be that team, but it's not a given. It's never a given that you're gonna get where you want to go in the NFL because there's 31 other teams trying to get there as well. 16 teams will be left in college baseball by the end of the day. They'll make up the Super Regionals. UVA, one of those teams, and a great night last night for a guy who really needed one of those. Jay Wolfolk, a Richmond kid from Benedictine, played football and baseball. His story, his redemption, his big night for the Wahoos on the other side as we continue to count you down to 12 o'clock. AWOD Radio takes over. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Monday morning, AWOD Radio takes over at noon. He's at Capital Ale House, live Monday show from Capital Ale House. That's the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. Tonight, he'll give you all the details on that. Go out, hang out, have a great lunch with him. Come out later in the day, join him for Burger Night this evening, whatever your availability is. AWOD will be there. He'll be happy to see you. Talk football, talk basketball. He's your guy on this final series. I'm not sure. I'm in on the Stanley Cup. I love that Connor McDavid's in. That makes me so happy. I also know this, Megan, and most people don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, just I'm acknowledging that.
Okay.
I'm acknowledging that. I am a big hockey fan. Always have been.
Nice. That's cool.
But I also know none of y'all care. I get that. And so we cater the show accordingly.
But, like, it's your show, so maybe you could, like, tap into the hockey fans, and that's your niche.
I think we did a little bit, but yeah. I'm not going the distance. We're not going to turn this to, MP on ice.
That's good.
MP's Icecapades show. Yeah. Yeah, and it'd be like Disney on Ice, but with your favorite Odyssey radio personalities. You know, we'll all come out, skate a lap, and
Clifford.
Give our takes.
I always have to pick on him.
Which Odyssey personality would you most want to see at Odyssey on Ice? So many good choices.
Vote now.
All the way around. Gary Hess?
Gary Hess, yes.
Gary Hess is either going to go one of two ways. Either I've never skated in my life and he's like twirling around, or like Gary's going to come out there and like land a triple axel.
Oh my gosh.
Like, yeah, I'm classically trained. What's it to you?
Yeah, what's it to you?
Gary's full of surprises like that, you know, and just yep. he'll pull one out on you, you know. Just like that.
And then Kat's going to come out in her like Stevie Nicks outfit, very flowy. And
Kat's a good candidate for who we want to see at yes. At Odyssey on Ice, for sure. Clifford will be a part of that as well.
Yep.
Bringing a little sparkle to the events from the XL yep. team. Exactly. We're live on the free Odyssey app. It's the one with the rewind button. Always appreciate you guys joining us either there or on the radio, 910 The Fan. We're at 105.1 FM. Know Who's Talking tonight. It will return after a summer hiatus. Tough break for them. They would have had a lot to talk about tonight. UVA went rolling through their regional this weekend. Three games, three wins. I was just super pumped about last night's win. This is clip 10 here, Megan. This was Jay Wolfolk, who was a great high school athlete here, very heavily recruited in both football and baseball, and decided he wanted to go to a school where he could play both sports. And so he went to UVA because they let him do that, was the quarterback on the football team and star pitcher on the baseball team at the college level, which is obviously fairly unheard of. On the football team, gets thrown in as starting quarterback against Notre Dame on like 3 days' notice, ends up playing a national TV game against Notre Dame, leaves football to focus on baseball, had a rough season, had a rough year at the College World Series last year, wasn't the outing he wanted, and he had the ball last night, and it was money time. It was win and advance to the Super Regional, and dang if he wasn't spectacular over eight innings. Jay Wolfolk, here's UVA coach Brian O'Connor on his outing.
You give young men an opportunity like Jay Wolfolk had tonight, and you see what they're made of, right? And the outing that he had was one of the best outings we've ever had in my 21 years at Virginia in such a pivotal game. He was phenomenal, just amazing. You know, Jay Wolfolk is going to have that for the rest of his life. When his team counted on him and he needed to step up, he pitched the best game that he's pitched in our uniform in 3 years.
And he is not done yet. UVA will take on Kansas State in the Super Regional. That will start this coming weekend. We'll get dates and times, relay them to you on tomorrow's program. AWOD may have those by the time he goes off the air. Just need these other games to wrap up across the country so they can get those set. I love that from Brian O'Connor, who obviously has been at UVA forever, understands what that means kind of in the context of life, not even in the context of baseball, that he'd been struggling for a while. And in this moment, it's a team sport. He gets the opportunity to lift the team, and he does it. That was really cool. And the way his teammates embraced him when he was done with the outing was I thought, pretty awesome as well. Here's Jay Wolfolk after the game, weighing in on his outing and just how good it felt to be back on top of the sporting world for a moment.
I know this season might not have been the best that I wanted to, but, you know, when you have teammates like these guys, and you have coaches like Coach Oak who believe in you, who keep throwing you out in those type of situations, you know, you never lose confidence in yourself no matter what goes on in that mound. So this performance that I had was, you know, I give it all to them, honestly. I just went out there and played, but, you know, without them, I wouldn't have the confidence that I had to go out there and execute like I did.
Jay Wolfolk, Richmond Zone, and star pitcher last night for UVA as they knock off Mississippi State, advance to the Super Regional. Story wasn't as good for our other two Division I teams. VCU was given the opportunity of a lifetime. Great win on Friday. Beat Wake Forest 1-0. And on the other side of the bracket, East Carolina, the one seed, the favorite in the regional, lost to Evansville, the four seed, the worst seed there. So is Evansville VCU to go to that winner's game, but VCU couldn't pull it off. 17-10 loss. It sounds like a football score, not a baseball score. Evansville put up 17 on the Rams. Rough night Saturday night with the victory in sight. Look, great season for VCU, and to knock off Wake Forest after an amazing A-10 tournament where they're just lights out at the plate. Great season for them. Sour way to end it, though. One win against Evansville away from maybe having some of those Super Regional dreams come true. Instead, they'll see their season end. They come back to Richmond. Third NCAA appearance in the last 4 years. Certainly future very bright over there on Broad Street and at the Diamond, where they share a home with the Squirrels. But JMU picked up a postseason win. First time in a couple decades they've done that. They were leading by two in the ninth inning of their opener, but ultimately fell in that game. One win, two losses on the weekend. Should we play the Green Trees clip again? I want to play the good one, too, but I want to play the Green Trees clip, too. It's number eight. Mike Mancini goes yard for the Dukes last night in their elimination game against NC State.
It's a defensive swinging right there.
That one is in the air to right field. Mancini, his favorite color is green trees, hits it out of the ballpark for a solo shot, 1-0 Dukes.
There you go, Mike Mancini with the home run. His favorite color is green trees. Megan, that cracked me up the first time I heard that. We need, is his actual favorite color green, or is that just something that was made up on the fly? I don't know.
I don't know. We think it was made up on the fly.
Got a lot we need to get to the bottom of. Play number 11, though, because JMU did something they haven't done in decades, and that is win an NCAA tournament game to advance to that elimination game against NC State.
The Dukes fans on their feet here in Raleigh, trying to extend their season and send the Gamecocks home. 2-0 JMU, top of the ninth. Two outs, a 1-1 count. Will Tippett digs back in. The Gamecocks shortstop, Burks, pitch. Called strike three! Sweet redemption for James Madison! They defeat the South Carolina Gamecocks 2-0 in a shutout, and get to a regional final for the third time in program history.
That's JMU with the win over South Carolina after they were up 2 in the ninth inning on Friday, didn't finish it off. But they did on Saturday, won themselves the opportunity to play another game on Sunday. Were unable to seal the deal, but a great season for JMU. Picked to finish 10th in the Sun Belt Conference, end with an at-large bid in an NCAA tournament appearance for them. College baseball, it's a fun time of year. We don't do a lot of college baseball on this show, but there was a lot of it over the weekend. We do a lot of NFL on this show. A little NFL news already this morning. Justin Jefferson, Minnesota Vikings, has become the highest paid non-quarterback in football. He's going to make $110 million guaranteed over the next 4 years, as many as $140 million. That's nearly $40 million a year for a non-quarterback. That's the Vikings putting up some serious money to keep Justin Jefferson around for J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold as they start this season. Also, the Commanders have cut Brandon McManus, the kicker who was the subject of a lawsuit last week that he sexually harassed two flight attendants on the team's charter flight to London for their game there. Commanders back on the field today. We'll see if they have a kicker or if they just go kickerless at today's practice. You could do that. It's just practice. You don't need a kicker today. You'll need a kicker when the season starts, but I don't doubt they'll have one. We'll wait. Await the white smoke from Ashburn, new kicker arrival, which is kind of a regular thing in the post-Dustin Hopkins era. They've churned through them. We had Chris Blewett, great last name for a kicker, Blewett. We had Joey Sly, pride of Stafford County. And then last year, on to Brandon McManus, who will not end up playing any games for the Commanders. He's in, he's out. The revolving door continues to spin. We will find our way down Broad Street. We'll chat with AWOD ahead of today's AWOD Radio. We'll do a little crosstalk on the other side of this break. We'll wrap things up, get you ready for his program. We're back tomorrow, of course. Know who's talking tonight. Tomorrow we'll have our normal Tuesday appearance with Trey Wilson, the Flying Squirrels. He'll set the table for a six-game homestand. You'll hear all those games right here. Time to take a break. Back in a minute. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Wrapping things up on this Monday, big week ahead in the world of sports. We'll be there for every last bit of it, as we do on Mondays. We join our guy AWOD from down at Capitol Ale House, where Richmond's OG Burger Night will take place tonight, as it does on Monday nights. Adam, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Michael? Fun sports weekend, man.
Fun sports weekend. I got prematurely excited about VCU baseball after the first win. I was like, they're going to the Super Regional. That's not how baseball works, though.
Well, I mean, that was just a really tough, you know, four-team bracket there in that regional. I mean, it's just super tough. Wake Forest, I mean, you know, I'm super proud about VCU when I think about how Wake Forest's season ended with a loss Friday and then a loss Saturday morning. That's it. You know, so at least the Rams got to play three games, and they just couldn't get the bats going like we saw them in Tyson's, and so that was kind of the issue there.
No doubt. It's AWOD Radio from Capitol Ale House. When you get back to the studio tomorrow, I've got a special special thing for you, Adam. I got you a little something for the summer.
Oh, okay.
I got us an intern.
Okay. Is it another smelly jersey?
It is not. Our guy, Zach McHugh, voice of God, Zach McHugh, got us a summer intern Marlon the intern's here, so we'll have some fun this summer. You got a little backup. He's an NBA guy, so you'll have another NBA guy in studio with you. So you'll be able to tilt the numbers here. So
I think the question is, Michael, is how good of a punching bag is he?
We'll need to figure out some fun bits to do with the intern. That's of course great intern tradition.
Does he look like he can beat Stubb in a race? Because that's what I'm desperate for.
Could he beat Stubb in a race? What are we talking, like a 100-meter dash?
40-yard dash here.
40-yard dash. I think Stubb's pretty quick. Yeah, he's not we're not getting like a big enthusiastic yes. I think Stubb's probably the speed champion at the fan. I don't think anybody's touching Stubb anytime soon.
I'm like so embarrassed by that. We got this scrawny little nerd from Virginia Tech.
No. The scrawny kid
in a race.
No, the scrawny kids always win the race. Like, look at any cross country team. It's a bunch of gangly like kids who don't. Yeah, that is what running is. Running is for the scrawny kids.
And maybe we need to step it up though. Make it a little more, you know, athletic of a competition then.
Well, happened to you on the basketball court, I'm not playing basketball with you anymore. I know that. I will pickle with you. We can pickleball because you'll be on the other side of the net. Whatever injury voodoo you have, you know, I won't be impacted by that. We'll leave it at that for now. We'll teach Marlon some pickleball and we'll settle for that as our intern activity this summer. Hey, Wad Radio from Capitol Ale House. He takes over at noon. Justin Jefferson, $140 million over 4 years. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, getting paid, right? As Tyreek Hill wants a new deal now, every wide receiver wants to get paid. They understand their value. The NFL has changed. It used to be all about the running back. Now it's all about the wide receiver. And, of course, the quarterback is still the number one position in the sport. But, yeah, I mean, growing up, it was all these big-time running backs getting paid. Now it's all these big-time wide receivers getting paid. It's just completely different.
I don't understand it because – and I said a few years ago, wide receiver contracts are a bubble that's going to burst. College is producing too many good wide receivers. College cranks out great wide receivers every year. And at some point, teams are going to realize, like they do with running backs, you can hang out and you can still get a good one for less money. I was completely wrong on that because – every year, receivers get drafted higher than ever, get paid more than ever. It just feels like there is supply to meet the demand, but we're still paying crazy money out there.
It's interesting because you're right. It does seem like every year, you know, there's a Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And he's going to come in and hopefully do what Justin Jefferson did. But I think there are tiers to this. Like, Justin Jefferson deserves to get paid that money. I'm not sure I would say the same about Jalen Waddle. You see what I'm saying? And so I think some teams are going to screw themselves by paying guys that aren't in that upper echelon of the wide receivers in the NFL.
Not like that would be a thing that Washington's done for years, overpay for free agents who aren't in the top echelon who they've convinced themselves.
Terry McLaurin is, though.
Terry McLaurin is
in that top echelon.
And say this about Terry McLaurin. That deal is going to age very well as this number keeps going up, right? Every time somebody breaks the record, the Terry McLaurin deal gets better and better. And soon you're going to have yourself a pretty good, affordable wide receiver. $35 million here for Justin Jefferson. Nick Bosa was your previous highest paid non-quarterback. A.J. Brown, Chris Jones, and Amon-Ra St. Brown are your top five for non-quarterback pay. You nailed it. You got to be careful who you give that money to because if it goes south, you can drag a whole team down. And, you know, we've known that about quarterbacks forever, right? The Giants give Daniel Jones big money. Now you're kind of writing those guys off for the next few years.
I definitely am. That's two easy wins on the schedule right there. All right. Unless it's Tommy Cutlets. I'm still scared of that guy.
I feel like I'll know it's a true new era for the Commanders when they beat the Giants. That's when we'll know that truly whatever ghosts of the past exists have been fully exercised when we just take care of business against a bad New York Giants team.
Yeah, because we thought we were in this new era here of no controversy, and yet, oh yeah, headlines over the weekend, Commanders back into controversy.
Kicker controversy, Adam. The
still counts.
The lamest of all the controversies. It does still count. I appreciate, though, like, and I know the media is not like one organism or whatever, but it does feel like a lot of the coverage around Brandon McManus has been former Jaguars kicker Brandon McManus, and the pictures have been of him in Jacksonville and with the Jaguars. Like, it definitely, there was a time a few years ago when any scandal that could have been connected to these guys was connected to these guys. So I appreciate that at least this one is not being declared a Commanders controversy. This is Jacksonville's problem.
But doesn't it from the outside almost look like Jacksonville pulled a fast one on us here, letting him go and we pay him the $3 million? It feels like Jacksonville knew there was something. Maybe I'm wrong here, but this incident took place a year ago, right? I mean,
sure.
You think maybe Jacksonville would have some kind of information about it.
Sure. But it's not their job to share, right? It's not their job,
right,
to tell Washington. And if anything, the fact that he signs and gets the $3.4 million signing bonus, you know, may accelerate the lawsuit or any, you know, people say, hang on a second, you know, we thought he was going to be quietly removed from the league. Instead, he's getting this bonus. Maybe that accelerates the lawsuit situation in some regards. But I also, my stance on free agency has always been, if a team doesn't re-sign a player who we all perceive to be good, there's something wrong there, right? Like,
right.
We talk about this with left tackles every year. Oh, why don't you just get a left tackle in free agency? If you have a good left tackle, you would never, ever, ever let them out of the building. You just don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. And yeah, that's why I just think Washington's going to end up getting a backup left tackle and trying to make it work. I mean, they're putting a Band-Aid on one of the most important positions, but I just didn't want them to reach and draft a left tackle. I know a lot of people said, oh, I can't believe they went through the first round again without drafting a left tackle. Well, he wasn't there for them, and their goal is to eventually get one next year. Or the year after that. You've been saying it. The goal is not Super Bowl this year, so why not get a left tackle next year?
I also feel pretty good about the guy they drafted, right? I'm not turning him back in for a left tackle. I'll say that much. AWOD Radio, what do we got on tap today?
Well, we're going to be talking about the college baseball action over the weekend. You mentioned no UVA Who's Talking tonight, but Frank Maloney from Who's Talking will join us at 12:30 as UVA will now host a super regional next weekend. JMU and VCU, I mean, it was just so much fun to watch them, and I watched a little of that squeeze play over the weekend. And then, of course, we're going to talk NBA. The finals are set for June 6th, Boston against the Dallas Mavericks.
We'll be listening, and we'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. regular time, regular place. See you then. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.